Hello and welcome to a special Easter mini podcast from the Dork Avengers, the podcast which refused to die for Michael Bay's sins. I'm Pete Dylan Trenchard. Dunk's not actually here today. He asked me to tell you that he's off fighting crime, getting women, being generally superheroic, but in reality he's just gone home to Wales to visit his family for Easter. I imagine they'll be eating a roast sheep or something. Eh? Wales? Sheep? Yeah. I'm sorry. This is why I need Dunk here to keep me in check. This podcast, issue 9.1, because it's about as good a jumping on point as any of Marvel's point one issues. It's basically just an excuse for me to showcase a bit of stand-up that I did last week. But before I play you that, just a couple of bits of Dork Avengers news. Thanks to our loyal fan Anna, we now have a Dork Avengers fan forum, which you can find at dorkavengers.proboards.com. Please do go and sign up. At the moment, it is just me, Dunk, and Anna posting, and that's not a threesome that any of us want to contemplate. So please do get involved, or if you're on Facebook, we now have a Dork Avengers fan page, and hopefully, sort of as time goes on, I'll get to post some sort of deleted scenes and outtakes and various bits that weren't considered good enough for the original podcast. And given the usual quality of this podcast, that's really something to look forward to. And funnily enough, you can find that at facebook.com/dorkavengers. But now, with all that out of the way, it's time for me to play a little bit of my stand-up. I take part in a regular comedy night in London each month called Geek Night Out, which has been running for 3 years now at the Comedy Pub in Piccadilly on the first Sunday of every month. It's a free night where top comedians, and me, get to go and really geek out on the subjects that they're really passionate about. This month I decided to do a set on Star Trek The Next Generation. And this is that set. If you like it, then please register on the forums, go onto the Facebook, let me know. If you don't like it, please register onto the forums, Facebook, maybe keep your opinions to yourself. Dunk and I will hopefully be back in a couple of weeks' time with our 10th issue, which promises to be very special indeed. You know, special guests, prizes, we've got none of those things. But we will have enthusiasm and the usual anger over the trivial happenings in our oh-so-mundane lives. So tune in for that. But in the meantime, I'll leave you in the very capable hands of Geek Night Out's resident compere, Mr. Paul Gannon.
Right, let's get the next act on. He has been in the show for years-ish now. He's been here from the beginning. I've seen him grow and flourish and develop into the fine stand-up he is. And I'm going to take every single credit if he gets a TV show before me. So, please welcome onto the stage the fantastic, lovable, wonderful person, Peter Dylan Trenchard, everyone. Round of applause.
Hello.
So my name's Pete, although for those of you who haven't seen me before, my full name is actually Peter Charles Sampson Dylan Trenchard. Turns out that what that name means is that my family used to have money, but that my great-great-granddad wisely decided to invest it all in prostitutes. Yeah, I am still slightly bitter about that. I mean, I'm down in Soho just before the gig, and a cool girl approached me and she said, "Excuse me, are you looking for business?" Extremely polite, cool girl. And I said, no, I'm not looking for business. I'm looking for the fully operational Lego Star Wars Death Star that my parents couldn't afford to buy me when I was 7 years old. She looked so confused. Mind you, according to one man who heckled me during a recent gig, I'm the reason God invented prostitutes, so maybe it was my own fault. I'm going to say, I did...
No, mate, sorry, that's not cool.
Thank you, Paul.
Fuck them. Yeah. All I'm saying.
Paul Gannon, everyone.
Sorry.
Well, like Paul, I did think it was unfair at first. Until I realised that there are at least three different comic book shops in or around the Soho Red Light District, so clearly that man wasn't the first person to have made the association between geek and sex tourist. Soho, come for the whores, stay for Spider-Man. The thing is, I do get these reactions, because I am a geek, and I always have been. I mean, my very first words were, "Damn it, Mum, I'm a toddler, not a bricklayer." which, for those of you who don't know, which I think is everyone past the first four rows, is actually a hilarious pastiche of Dr. McCoy's line, "I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer," from Star Trek Season 1, Episode 26, Devil in the Dark. Yeah, you're laughing and learning tonight. But no, genuinely, I found out kind of a couple of years ago that I watched my very first sci-fi show when I was just 2 weeks old, when my mum came home from the hospital with me and sat up watching the miniseries V, the Nazi allegory show about kind of lizard rat-eating aliens, which, after 10 hours of labour, must have seemed like a bit of knockabout fun to her. Naturally, I can't remember very much of it myself, but I like to think that the aliens' indiscriminate eating habits left a lasting impression on me. But no, the first sci-fi show that I really loved, was, of course, Star Trek The Next Generation. Do we have any fans in? And the rest of you, have you at least heard of Star Trek Next Generation?
Yes.
Good, because I'll be honest, without explanations, I'm hoping this set will go on for about 10 minutes. With explanations, it might go up to about an hour. So buckle in. No, Star Trek Next Generation, of course, was the show which really only came about because in 1986, a Paramount executive woke up one morning and went, "Shit, when did Shatner get fat?" And, you know, it's the show which took the bold move of making its captain a Frenchman. And the even bolder move of having the world's most British person play him. was of course Patrick Stewart, you know, "Bonjour, number one. Je m'appelle Captain Picard. Je suis Royal Shakespeare Company." It was, of course, also the show which changed the famous slogan "where no man has gone before" to "where no one has gone before." Because that was the bit that the feminists really hated about the original Star Trek. Never mind Captain Kirk's cavalier attitude towards pretty much every woman in the universe. You need to sort out your opening title, mate. But, you know, on Star Trek Next Generation, that was pretty much their only concession towards political correctness. Because whereas the original Star Trek series had sort of crew members from pretty much everywhere in the world, in Next Generation it was Captain Picard, the Frenchman, ooh la la, a whole bunch of middle-class Americans, and the character of Counselor Deanna Troi, whose accent kind of started off as a sort of non-specific European, and gradually became Cockney around the fifth or sixth series. Around about the point where actress Marina Sirtis just gave up. I couldn't really blame her for giving up, though, because it was kind of a thankless role. I mean, she was playing the ship's counsellor, who had a spot on the bridge, because according to the Gene Roddenberry in the series Bible, come 24th century, every starship will need an occupational therapist on the bridge. although, I don't think we ever actually met any other ship's counsellors. I mean, Lotner, can you confirm that? I didn't research that.
No,
useless. But no, I don't think we met any others, which makes me wonder that maybe she was just there to keep Commander Riker's sex addiction in check. Commander William Riker, probably the one man in history who tried to hide the fact that he was a sex pest by growing facial hair. You're no less of a sex pest, Riker, you just have a really nice beard. Commander Riker, of course, played by Jonathan Frakes, who would later go on to make a Home Alone sequel, set it on an island, and call it Thunderbirds the Movie. Still bitter. But no, going back to Counselor Troi, the thing about Counselor Troi was that she was psychic, but she was only a bit psychic, because again, according to Gene Roddenberry, to have her as a full psychic, that wouldn't have been believable. So she can only read emotions, which will lead to really ridiculous exchanges of dialogue, such as, "Deanna, these people who just shot at us, can you sense anything from them?" "I'm sensing great frustration, Captain." Yes. I didn't check that was definitely from an episode, but I'm pretty sure it is. But no, the series Bible, the kind of document that is meant to guide the series, sort of at its very inception, it has a huge section on how believable this show must be. Which is all well and good until you consider that it had plots, you know, especially in the first series, such as an omnipotent being puts them on trial on the benefit of humanity, or the crew of the Enterprise's dreams come to life. Believable. Or Wesley Crusher finds a girl who doesn't instantly repulse by him. the thing about Star Trek Next Generation is that Counselor Deanna Troi is a very easy punchline. I think Counselor Deanna Troi is to geek comedians what blondes are to successful comedians. Yeah. Do try any classic blonde jokes and just insert Counselor Deanna Troi. You'll have the Star Trek fan in your life eating out of your hand. Please do buy hand sanitizer. It can get messy. But the thing is, as easy a punchline as Troi is, the ship's boy genius Wesley Crusher, even more so. At least until about 5 years ago. Because somehow the actor who played him, Will Wheaton, people have started to like him non-ironically. Which, the guy who played Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars The Phantom Menace must really be kicking himself. I suspect he's actually given him a phone call and said, look, what did you do that I haven't? And of course the answer to that is what Will Wheaton did that Jake Lloyd didn't was he didn't become Hayden Christensen for two more films. There's one way to top your hateability factor. The thing is, Next Generation, like any sci-fi show, had some strange merchandise. There was Commander Data actor Brent Spiner's album, Old Yellow Eyes Is Back. A few fans in the room. Is it good?
Yeah.
It is. Well, in an ironic sense or a non...
If you just take it as that type of music, it's fine. If you take in the Star Trek connotation, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Brilliant! there's also the Commander Worf talking lunchbox. Today is a good day to eat Dairy Lee triangles. But I think one of my favourite pieces of Star Trek merchandise has to be this one here. Star Trek The Next Generation versus the X-Men. Planet X. And I've got to say, it's one of those books that I felt should never have existed. I mean, there are some turns of phrase that should never appear in literature ever. And I think things like Wolverine and Storm followed Commander Riker into Picard's ready room. That's one of them. Because the thing about these two franchises meeting, X-Men at its heart is about a group of unlikable social misfits who have been shunned by society, and that's just not Star Trek Next Generation, you know. Star Trek Voyager, if anything. But the thing is, as much as people say that X-Men is, you know, it's about the oppression of a beleaguered sort of subsection of society, it is, but it's mostly about freaky-looking people punching the crap out of other freaky-looking people. So to have them cross over with a show like Star Trek Next Generation, that's like having Doctor Who cross over with Power Rangers, which would be pretty awesome, actually. Can't help but think maybe I've misjudged this book. But no, I mean, it's kind of disappointing for me, for at least the reason that Cyclops isn't in it, the X-Men leader with the big kind of band across his eyes. And I really wanted to see the conversation between him and Geordi LaForge, which was... It was like sort of tips on how to look good with a hairband on your face. Mind you, as a friend pointed out to me this week, neither of them really pulls it off, so it really would be the blind leading the blind. I'm going to play that groan back to her. I'm recording it. I'm quite glad that didn't get a better laugh than any of my jokes. But I mean, for me, the most disturbing thing about Star Trek versus the X-Men Planet X is that there develops this weird love story between Storm of the X-Men and Captain Jean-Luc Picard. And this is a bit wrong to begin with, but it becomes more wrong when you realise that the book actually goes out of its way to point out that Captain Picard looks a lot like the X-Men's father figure, Professor Xavier. I rather suspect that Storm's going to need some pretty extensive counselling when she goes home. And whilst I don't want to put words in, don't want to put thoughts into her head, because that would be unbelievable, I would suggest that the Starship Enterprise has one they're not using. If you just want to take her, I won't tell anyone, we won't tell anyone. Look, that's me for tonight. If you've enjoyed this, please do listen to my podcast, The Dork Avengers, on iTunes and Podomatic. And also, I am currently single, so... Hello, ladies. I'll be at the back. I'll give you back to the very capable hands of Mr. Paul Gannon.
The Guinness Book of World Records for Star Trek facts in one set. You're doing well.